You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 36, which will actually be here for 2 weeks because next Friday is Christmas Day, and we're going to delay a podcast recording until the following Friday. So this is episode 36. It's out there forever, of course, but it's particularly at the top of the podcast listening list for the next 2 weeks. And I'm very excited in this podcast to bring you Phyllis A. Travers, who lives in Houston, Texas, as you will hear through her accent. And Phyllis has been working with me on her dreams for 4 years now, but she's done some fantastic things with her life and her dreams, and I'll leave her to tell you the story. So let's just welcome her now. So welcome, Phyllis A. Travers. And as I've just said in the introduction, we've been working together now for 4 years. You first came to me with a dream for interpretation 4 years ago, and we've done a lot of work, and more particularly, you've done a lot of work and a lot of alchemy since then. And it's just wonderful to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, JT. It's nice to finally hear your real accent, not your email accent.
Okay. Aren't we a wonderful world? As all our listeners tune their ears to our various dialects.
Yes, all the way from Texas to the outback, yes.
And you're talking, of course, to us in Brisbane here this morning, and you've also just informed me that you're better acquainted with the world news than I am, because apparently there's an iceberg on its way to the western coast of Australia, which you knew about all the way in Houston, Texas, and I had no idea about sitting here in little old Brisbane although we're on the east coast, got a long way for that iceberg to go.
What's up with that? I'm tuned into the Weather Channel and you're not. Okay. All right.
Phyllis,
I was doing my homework for our podcast.
You're very good. You're a very wonderful person. Phyllis, I thought, you picked out in particular that you wanted to speak about a dream that you had in April 2008 that we worked on together, and it was called Woman of the Cross. I wondered if it was a long dream, but I wondered if you could summarize the essence of it for our listeners today.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. It was, in essence, it was a dream about a glass ceiling, a woman in a glass office who was sort of floating. I couldn't see her very clearly. The only thing that seemed to define her was a cross, and even the cross I couldn't define in that dream, because I couldn't tell whether it was a Celtic cross. There was some confusion whether it was a Celtic cross or whether it was a crucifix. But it was the marker for this woman. She knew that that cross defined her. And the interesting part about the dream was everybody who came to her knew who she was and came to her and had no confusion whatsoever about what they were seeking in her and the help that she needed. She was the only one who seemed to be confused about what that cross represented. That's my brief summary of that dream. Does it ring any bells for you?
That's very good. Yes, I remember it well. So your overall feeling of the dream at the time, if you summarize that even down to one sentence, and when you woke up, you felt?
I felt confused about what I was supposed to be doing with my spiritual calling.
Mm. And so then I interpreted the dream. And can you remember your understanding of the interpretation, the kind of bottom line summary of the interpretation, just for our listeners? There are many bottom lines when you get an interpretation from me, like pages of it. But
yeah, like which one? Basically, you were saying, basically you said, what's up with this? Everybody else seems to know who and what you're all about. You're the only one who seems to be confused about this.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you look at what that cross really represents to you? Because it took us in directions I wasn't sure I was prepared to go. But as you will recall, there were several things that you pointed out to me. Floating, you know, I thought floating meant, you know, like, you know, I was ethereally defined somehow. I saw that as a very good, strong spiritual symbol. And as a dream analyst myself, so I can go into all sorts of directions that you can go. So it's always a challenge for you to interpret one of my dreams because you've got to really dig in deep.
That's right.
To get me, because I've already done all the surface stuff. So you have to come in and like get to the parts that I'm resisting.
I turn the knife.
Yeah. Thank you, JT. That's such a nice way of saying that you cut me open from head to toe and said, now, what are you going to do about this? Basically.
Yes, because I had come to you and said, look, the woman in your dream is floating, and all the emphasis in the dream is on looking up, and a lot of the things in the dream seem only slightly visible and formless. And I suggested maybe this is because these are things that you haven't yet grounded, you haven't yet manifested. You can see the shape of them, you can get the feel of them, but you know, where's the manifestation, where's the grounding, where's the making this happen, and why might you be resisting making this happen?
Right. You said, as a matter of fact, and I'm going part with my phonographic memory here, something about that I had created the space for this woman because the dream had defined that space.
Yes.
So that wasn't an issue. What was an issue was what I was going to do in that space.
The practicality of it.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And so,
then, as I recall, you being so sweet and so tender and so gentle with me, as you always are.
And with my knife.
You're right. You slammed me with an alchemy exercise that just blew me out of the water. It was just like, I recall very vividly putting my head down on my computer and going, I cannot do this. You have done it to me. I cannot. There is no way I can do this. Yet here's the thing with you. There is a seed of truth, as we both know, in every dream. And every dream is asking us to look at the best part of who we are and to realize that in love and in light and faith. And these dreams, as difficult as they appear to be, once we start working with them, truly give us the resources we need to do that work. And that was the seed that I held on to. The dream would not have surfaced. I would not have seen myself as that woman of the cross. And you know, that's how my website is defined. That's who I am.
Yes.
I would not have had that dream were I not ready to do the work of the dream.
That's right. Ready to ground and make it happen and investigate and look at what was standing between the vision and the getting it out there, which we then
right.
did.
Continue. No, and wasn't it interesting once we began to unravel that free-floating sensation, let's define the cross, are you going to take the spiritual challenge, are you going to hide, are you going to, wasn't it interesting to find out where that thread really, really took us? Mm-hmm. I mean.
And it took us so far. Where did it take us?
Oh my God, it took us back to, the ultimate conflict was not just the cross, it took us all the way back to my spiritual ousting when I was just coming out as a gay woman and wanting to be very strong in my faith, which was very grounded, and I've always been connected to God ever since I was a kid, ever since I was a little kid. I mean, a whole lot of things happened and crystallized in an early life that sort of set the pattern for how I would think and believe and feel about things. But once I found my spiritual roots and I started to really fly, then I had somebody who I admired very much tell me, you know what? It's great that you believe in God. It's even better that you're a child of Christ, but you cannot do the gay thing and represent God. Mm-hmm. Cannot do it. And that has been the true knife, if you will, that if you think about a cross, what does it represent? For me, of course, it's you know, it's fundamentally versed in Christianity, but not in a hard right wing kind of way, in a spiritual way, because it's the cross that I bear, or the cross that we all bear, or what is the cross, the conflict. Look at all the definitions of cross, crossroads, cross that we bear, being cross, being angry. I mean, that one symbol, it was just amazing what that one symbol, the cross, and the true symbol of my faith, of course, and how that all crystallized in one little dream snippet. And so to come back full circle, the true dilemma for me was, are you going to go public or not? How long are you going to let this betrayal keep you from realizing who you are? And it took me a long time to pull out of this dream, because I was really, it really kind of did me in for a while, until I realized, working on the alchemy exercise, I think the alchemy exercise was, okay, here you go, Phyllis, you know, I want you to create 8 different pages, home pages. Not one. I mean, your normal client, you'd give just one. You'd be happy with just, you know, create a home page for me and tell me what that represents, who that is. Oh, no, you gave me 8, not one, but 8.
I knew you well. I knew what it would take. I knew how big an iceberg it had to be.
Oh, my God. And it was like, you know, and each one had to represent a different facet of who I was. One had to be about faith. One had to be about how would I present myself as the musician? How would I present myself as the faith activist? How would I present myself as a dream analyst? How would I present myself? I think maybe you forgot lawyer in there. You didn't put lawyer in there. I think that's the only one. That's the only one you left out. But you had all of these. And how would I stay true? Which one would I create that would not give up who I was? Because truly, once we got into the stream, it was all about everything I had given away and had so much difficulty reclaiming, because I believed somebody else's version of the truth more than I trusted my own heart, which has always been the ultimate wisdom to pay attention to. But I was so needing to belong, to fit in. I wanted so well to be loved and respected and understood and liked. And I did not want to be abused any longer because I was gay, or have somebody tell me that my faith was less valuable because I was gay than somebody who sat in a church pew 365 days a year and took nothing from that experience. So it was a huge dream for me. And I remembered one of those days when my head was down and I was typing these tiny little words to you at 3 o'clock in the morning. I cannot do it, JT. I cannot do it. This voice came to me that said something like, you know what? You can't change any of all of this stuff that has happened. You can't reinvent any of those experiences to change the way they happened, because they were real and they were all there for a reason. But you can certainly change what you do with those experiences now, because you have skills now you didn't have then. You have talent now that you've tapped into that you couldn't see then. You have gone deeper on a spiritual path that you were too afraid to open up to then, because your dreams terrified you too much. And where I have always thought that my dreams were there in some way to show me a path that I could keep going forward, I must confess to you that, you know, they've kicked my ass too, you know, and really challenging me to, well, I don't know how to explain this. A lot of, you know, I think that our dreams just speak to us in incredible languages that are tailored explicitly to where we are and what the conflicts are and what it is that we're trying to achieve. And if we can just see in each of those dreams that seed of faith, that the goal of that dream is to help us, not to harm us, to get us to another place, not to set us back, to teach us new skills, not to lock us in and trap us. If we can open up to that alchemy, if you will, that whole dark night journey of the soul, and permit ourselves to flow in the language and the landscape of our dreams, then we open up doors that we can't even imagine. And you helped me do that. I realized somewhere in there, but I can change how I react to all of this now. I'm not that same person anymore. These are not threats that are realistic now. And maybe they are, but so what? You know? So what? Who cares? There are too many people out there who have gone through maybe worse than I went through, who have been told that they're not good enough or smart enough or talented enough or pretty enough or tall enough or short enough or whatever, and cannot get where they want to go because so many people are trying to beat down on them. And so I want to say, you know what? You can't change what any of those people are going to say, but you can sure as hell change what you do about your own path, and you can look into your heart and claim that wisdom for yourself. And so I have become the woman of the cross. I made that decision. So as you know, we're launching my website, so...
We're launching your website this weekend. This is where we do the sting. The unplanned sting. Yeah, Phyllis, you deserve this so much. www.phyllisatravis.com. That's Travis, T-R-A-V-I-S. phyllisatravis.com, launching this weekend. And you'll see how Phyllis has put together all the aspects and skills and talents that she's got into one integrated website. Beautifully done. Really, really grounded, the woman of the cross in this site. And you're a fabulous musician and songwriter too, and you've just had a lot of acclaim and nominations in that area. So you're going forward in so many fantastic areas across the board. Yes, while being a lawyer at the same time.
Yes, to fuel all of that. Go ahead. Now, I was going to say it was, so I didn't exactly do your alchemy exercise, you know, but I did it my own way, which was, okay, I'm not, you know, I could sit here and I could spend 8 months crafting each of these pages, but why don't we just, you know, go for it and just build a whole new site? Why don't we just do that and put all of these people together and put the entire vision together and show how it all connects, because it is all connected to that faith journey, all the music and the dreams every step of the way. And for every naysayer who has said I could not do it, I was just fueled to say, but I can. Mm. If I can just figure out how to do it, and my dreams have been the map for that. For me, you know, I can't speak for other people, of course, but I can certainly speak for my own incredible journey in faith. And as we know, celebrated in song, because I connect all of those dots or try to in just about everything that I do.
Mm. So. Beautifully put, Phyllis. And, you know, you say, oh, you know, my dreams have been the map. Well, for me personally, I can't speak for other people. But of course, our dreams are our map the moment that we decide that they are, you know. So for everyone listening, you've really been able to get a feel there, particularly for what you said, Phyllis, about, you know, that the most frightening, the most scary, the deepest, the darkest dreams are actually not there to frighten us in the middle of the night. They're there to say, stop, look, this is the way you're looking at the world. These are your fears. These are some dark things that you're really perhaps not looking at during the day, or maybe these are dark glasses that you're wearing during during the day. And maybe sometimes you're seeing the world in a darker way rather than a lighter way. But whichever way it is, this dark and scary and frightening dreams that many people would prefer not to look at or they fear looking at are actually there so that we can look into them and go, okay, let's throw some light in here. Let me look at this map of who I am, of how I see the world, and see if looking at that map can help me to understand why I see the world that I do, and therefore what changes I can make within myself to see my world in a different way. And of course, once you see your world in a different way, that's the same as a map. You have a map to follow. I see the light. I can see where I'm going.
Yeah.
I can see who I really am. I can do what I really want to do. There's no holding back, no fear anymore in this. And you've beautifully and far more eloquently than I can say at the moment, described that whole process, Phyllis. If for others listening in, obviously you've painted a picture of alchemy being a difficult and definitely transformative and life-changing process, but
yes,
nevertheless difficult. What words of advice would you give to encourage people who are thinking of not only going down a path of having their dreams interpreted, but actually doing the work of the alchemy, which is the key transformative work? What advice would you give to others thinking about opening the oven door and going into the alchemical furnace? Yeah, what would make them want to go in?
Yeah, you just gave me quite a visual of sticking your head in, and your hair comes out all singed and your face is all black. Well, it really is kind of like that. So, but don't let that scare you. Okay, so if you look at every dream as a puzzle piece in a life journey, and if something scares you, and speaking now to your listeners, if something in there scares you, then understand there's another piece of that dream that also gives you the solution to whatever that fear is. And I think that the more fear that we can conquer in this world, and the more that we can strip back those layers, once we get to the bottom, to the pit, to the furnace, to the coal, and we're covered in soot, imagine what it's like to get clean, to step into a shower after working in a coal mine. That's what an alchemy process is like. When you're in the midst of the process itself, you cannot see it. You just can't see it. You feel intensely the fear, and that's the whole point. You feel the emotions coming on. That's also the point. You resist with all of your might at times to go the direction the dream is challenging you to go, and that's also the point. How better to crystallize a conflict and safety than to have it done in a dream? Would you rather that process occur day in and day out in a real-time way? Or would you rather take the time that a dream map sets for you and says to you, you can conquer this, you can do this, pay attention to this piece, and you don't have to unravel the whole thing at once? That's the beauty of dreams. It all comes to you in your own unique timing and language and working within your own circumstances and skill sets. So if you only understand one tiny piece of that fear, and it's, then allow yourself to unravel that, because at the end of that process, the deeper you go, the freer you become. The more you tangle with that fear and let it wrestle you to the ground, you become the victor in that process. The more that you allow yourself, your heart, to be opened, the more that love can come in to you. And that was the bottom line of the dream that JT did for me, Jane Teresa did for me, for the woman of the cross. The puzzle piece, the kernel of gold in that dream that was so oppressive to me because I couldn't see how I could get beyond it, was don't hold back your love. What happens if you let your love out there? Have you thought about that? And because I was willing to trust the confidence of the dream, you know, it comes from my own heart. How can it be wrong? No dream ever lies. A lot of people say, well, that can't be true. That can't be true. A dream cannot lie. It comes from you.
No truer word was ever spoken.
but I think, and again, going on my memory here, JT, I think the whole, your tagline on that interpretation was, let the missing part of me back in. What happened? The question you posed was, what would happen if I went back and started to reclaim the parts that scared me so much? Mm. What would happen if I went back and embraced me instead of resisting all of those parts of me that seemed so overwhelming at the time?
And you did that, and you did it beautifully. And it's not an instant process. It does take weeks, months, years, depending on the process. And you not only done it beautifully and transformed all sorts of things, but you have a place for everybody listening to go and look at some of the results of that. And once again, because I'm doing a commercial on you here, which once used to be one of your greatest fears, going public with a commercial, my goodness, www.phyllisatravis.com. That's all one word, of course, Phyllis A. Travis. Phyllis, thank you so much for sharing the tip of the iceberg of all your dreams and alchemy of the last 4 years.
You're welcome, JT. I think we started that. All of those dreams, all of the interpretations you've done have all been linked to that same message. And so the dreams keep repeating in theme until we work that out. And for me, it was claiming my spiritual calling and going public in a very big way and putting all of this out there so I could help other people and their faith journeys and their dream journeys. Okay. Also,
fantastic. Thank you so much, Phyllis. Enjoy your public.
You're
launch.
Welcome. Thank you. Get out of the way of the ice.
Thank you.
You're welcome, JT. Thank you.
And that was a delight. What a lovely interview with Phyllis A. Travis. If you're sitting there and you'd love to come on the show, either to bring a dream that you'd like me to interpret live or to share some of your experiences that you've had with me with your dream interpretation and alchemy, please get in contact. It's been great to have you yet another week on the show. And you do need to wait this time 2 weeks for the next podcast, for podcast number 37, because next Friday is our podcast release day. Next Friday is actually Christmas Day. So we'll be taking that day off, which means that the following Friday for episode 37 is actually New Year's Day, the 1st of January of a new decade, 2010 or 2010. I wonder what we'll actually call it. We'll find out next week. If you live, if you don't live in Australia and you don't live in New Zealand, then of course you get your podcasts on Thursday because we're ahead of the rest of the world. So you will get your podcast 37 on the very last day of 2009. Either way, it will be a big event, a special event, and a brand new beginning. So if you've listened to this podcast, in the flow, in the time, then I wish you all a happy silly season and much celebrations. And if you're listening to this many weeks, months, or years after the recording, well, have a nice time anyway. You can find a lot more information about my work at www.dream.net.au or on my blog at janetheresa.com. Have a lovely week, have fun, and I'll speak to you again on the 1st of January 2010 for episode 37. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.